Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game, an XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to the Girls on Games podcast. This is episode number 97. My name is Leah and I am ecstatic to be taking you on this journey in video game conversation here today. We've got a great show looking into the future, but not too far. We're going to talk about all the games that we're most excited to play in 2017, and maybe the games that we think might miss this year's boat. Joining me on this adventure is our very own 8-Bit Blonde. Allie, how goes?
I'm good, you?
I am excellent. And Simon, how you doing, my friend?
Doing fantastic.
Sweet. Catherine's feeling a little under the weather this week, so we're going to wish her well and jump right into what games we're gaming. Simon, what are you playing?
So, under Ali's recommendation, I played Oxenfree, and I loved it. It's a great little game. People talking over each other a lot, which is kind of annoying at points. But I put on the subtitles, and that really helped. And apart from that, it was really fucked up. Like, I left with a lot of questions that I feel like I'm going to Google. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a very long game, but it was fun.
Yeah, it took like 4 hours to get through one playthrough.
Yeah, and to the surprise of most of you guys listening, I bought an Xbox.
Woo!
And I've been playing Halo and Master Chief Collection and a bit of Halo 5.
Guys, I am so proud of Simon right now. You actually have no idea. I am so proud. I'm very happy to have him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been fun so far. The Master Chief Collection is pretty insane to be able to switch between the Xbox graphic and Xbox One graphics, like, just on the fly. That's pretty fun to see, like, how it used to be back then. You're like, did it look that fucking bad? Oh my god, it's horrible. I never played the Halos, but yeah, it's
Simon, okay, first off, Oxenfree. So I finished that this week at 2.
Yes.
How much did you like the characters? Because, like, their voice acting in that game,
fantastic,
is awesome.
Yeah.
So I have trouble getting attached to teenage characters in games. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not a big fan of Life is Strange, even though everyone else absolutely adored it, because I found the writing very stilted. Like, the dialogue of the teenagers, mm-hmm, very just awkward, mm-hmm, to me. Whereas Oxenfree, I felt like the characters were so realistic.
Yeah.
In how they interacted with each other and their conversations, I loved it.
Even the speech bubbles, like the way they had them formulated, you kind of expected them to read them straight up, but their delivery was very different and very genuine. That's what I found.
Mm-hmm. No, it was honestly, like, that's what surprised me the most at first. I thought it would be cringy and be like, oh, like, it's clearly actors reading a script, but no, we actually felt like it was people having conversations, so that was really cool.
And the art style in that game, like,
very cool.
The duality between, you know, like, the very, like, painterly background, the 3D mm-hmm characters, and then the, like, straight up line art, something straight, like, from Game Boy or the game, what was that, the Virtual Boy? That's what it's called, the Virtual
Boy. Yeah,
like, the lines and how the triangles were drawn. Mm-hmm. So cool. I really like the mix.
Really fun game.
It's a great game, and I'm a little bit sad that it kind of flew under the radar when it first released, but I'm really looking forward to seeing more from them in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hopefully.
Are they working on other project right now?
Not that I've heard of, but they were involved, like, Skybound was in on that project, so I'm hoping that they have something in the works.
Cool.
Yeah, it
nice
was, it was you know, a nice story. Mm-hmm. I must say, a very nice story. Weird, though. Real weird.
Yes.
Very unsettling. Mm-hmm. But very interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. I was not expecting that. I messaged Allie like when I was about halfway through. I'm like, girl, this game is spoopy. I didn't know that there was going to be a spoopy game. I was not expecting spoopy.
I didn't find it scary or nothing. It was more just like, what the hell?
I'm a big pussy when it comes to games. Oh, okay. So yeah, that was spoopy for me.
I already mentioned, like, I was very big into the paranormal when I was younger, when I was actually about the age of the characters in the game. So, like, it just, it felt altogether too real for me.
And Halo, I need a story mode buddy, because I keep saying to Mike that I want to play story mode and he doesn't want to do it with me. So we need
to play together. But, like, I need to finish Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I haven't finished. Well, I finished 1. I've got partway through 2. So maybe when you get to 2, I will play
Can you do co-op on MCC?
Yes. They all have co-op.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll finish 1 and I'll tell you when I'm at the
perfect
part.
That was supposed to be my goal last year or the year before, and I failed miserably.
MCC. Okay, failed. Well, we'll do it this time.
All right, good. I have a buddy to keep me going.
Yay!
How about you, Allie? What have you been playing?
Oh yeah, nice.
I've been working quite a bit, so I haven't had much time to game. But when I do, I've been playing Stardew Valley, because that's just going to be a constant, I think, in my life forever now. I don't think that I'm never not going to be playing Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley, and I've also been playing Halo Wars 1 in preparation for Halo Wars 2.
That's soon. So,
that's in February, middle of February.
My God, February. It used to be a barren month for games. And now, that's not the case. Nobody says anything.
Statement of fact, Leia Dewar.
Halo Wars 2 is going to be my only game for, I think, February and... No, for February.
Cool. Very cool.
Because going into March, then we have Mass Effect Andromeda.
That's true. So. That is true. I have played a lot of games. I mean, I made it a mandate this year to actually, like, play lots of games. And I'm keeping up with that. Now, mind you, we're not even done January yet. So don't hold me to it. I got 11 months left. But, yeah, finished Oxenfree. Played a little bit of Halo multiplayer. I am actually getting pretty decent at a FPS. I'm kind of surprised with myself. What's up with that? For Honor closed beta is this weekend. Though when you hear this, it will have passed. But I will be playing that.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
I've got a game to review. So, yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot. But it's good times.
I mean, it's almost finished February, so when this comes out, so start typing up your games, people, to see what games are going to finish in February.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so are you guys planning on doing the 4th of Feb?
I don't think so.
It's a little intense to think about. You need to plan your games properly.
Well, especially, like, I play a lot of, like, MMOs and games that don't really end, per se, so yeah. It's kind of hard to be all finished. I could finish, like, Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, so I guess that could be something gonna do. That's 4 games, technically.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Yeah, the campaign isn't super long, so you'd be able to do that.
It's too bad we didn't leave Oxenfree.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
All right, let's jump into the news. Coming right up. And we're back. Allie, take it away with a news story.
So yeah, something we saw quite a bit in the news this week after Blizzard launched the Year of the Rooster event was the fact that Mei's new skin apparently makes her look a lot skinnier than people believe she is. And so that was making headlines pretty much everywhere across gaming outlets this week. And I have some feelings about it.
Tell us your feelings.
I know you guys probably do too. I'm just a little bit curious as to why people seem to think that Mei is a sphere underneath her snowsuit. I'm a little bit concerned that they think people are shaped that way.
Are people not used to snowsuits? Maybe this is a thing because we live in the Great White North. So we understand how bulky a snowsuit can get, especially if you're going out.
You have.
Yeah, and especially if you're going out in like minus 40. Like, I've lived that, where I put on the leggings and then the jeans and then the snow pants and then the t-shirt, long sleeve shirt, sweatshirt, then a sweater, then a jacket, and then you still manage to feel like your bones are freezing when you walk outside the door. So
yeah, I Blizzard addressed the comments and said that it was a bug, but I quite honestly personally think that Blizzard is bullshitting. I think they're trying to
backpedal,
fix the situation to keep people from being offended, much like the whole Tracer.
Why couldn't they just say she's got a normal figure under her snowsuit?
But you know what? And I don't even think normal is the right word, because I mean, if you look at pictures side by side, and I've seen photos of her original skin, her Christmas skin, where she's once again wearing like a Santa style suit with a belt. And then you have her Year of the Rooster skin. And I really don't see the big deal. I mean, May still has her adorable round face. She still has big hips. She has, you know, wider hips, and she has thicker thighs. I mean, she still looks like May, but we're realizing, or we're seeing here, that her waist is a little bit smaller than it looks like in the other two skins, because she's not wearing fur-lined suits. She's wearing a silk outfit. But she still looks like May. It's not like there was this drastic change. It's just showing that there's a belt cinched around her waist, and she's not a circle. Like,
is this just a case of people trying to make a mountain out of a molehill?
I really feel like it is. They're just...
Well, it's also the case of where the article came from.
Oh, are you shots fired at Kotaku?
Oh yeah, I'm firing shots at Kotaku. Anything to get a click.
Do you think they came at that blindly, or were they... Like, someone had to be saying that before.
No,
before,
I mean,
to make
for
it a
sure.
story.
For sure, but like, tons of people say everything on the internet, and if no one reports on it, no one gives a shit. But the fact that they saw this and they were like, oh my god, body shaming a video game character, now's the perfect time to jump on it and get some clicks. And that's 100% what they did. It's a non-story. Like, it's not even... I don't know why Blizzard is backpedaling. Like, the way to handle the Tracer thing was perfect. They'd be like, yeah, so they gave her even sassier pose when people were saying that she was too sassy. So it's like, it's perfect. Just why do you want to give in to those people who, like you said, make a mountain out of a molehill? It's kind of ridiculous. But
I'm not, like, I don't know, I'm very torn on the whole thing. Like, I feel like it really is a mountain out of a molehill thing, but I just
drama for the sake of clicks.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Drama for the sake of clicks.
Gawker Media.
All right, let's move on, because I think we could sit here and just table flip all day. Simon, you've got a story about the Switch.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're one of the people who ordered pre-ordered a Switch at GameStop, but you might want to check out your emails or give them a call, because GameStop has been canceling people's pre-order for the Nintendo Switch and for Zelda Breath of the Wild. Now, as to say why they're doing it, no one's quite sure. Is it because they thought they would have enough stock to fulfill all the pre-orders? Or is it that Nintendo was like, no, you're not getting that many because we're short on stock? But it's kind of a dick move, considering no other retailer is doing that right now. They're the only one doing that right now.
So
it's kind of a sucky deal.
GameStop in Canada is EB Games, correct?
Yeah.
Were there reports about EB Games doing that, or is it strictly GameStop?
It only says GameStop in the article. So, like, it's not... I don't know if also EB Games is doing it, but it says it GameStop, and it's the same company, pretty much, so... I would give it a call, you know? If you do have a pre-order, why not just see exactly what's going on to make sure that your pre-order is still on? You know, if you're one... Well, first off, don't pre-order the Switch, but that's besides the point.
They already did. They're hoping for it.
Clearly it's already been done. So, you know, you've already made your life choices. But just, you know, give them a call and see if you still have it, which is kind of a weird move, either by Nintendo or GameStop. People have been blaming GameStop.
Yeah, but I mean, this is not the first time that GameStop has done something like this.
Yeah, maybe that's what people are blaming GameStop for it.
And I think GameStop has kind of set a standard for dicking around their customers a little bit more than they really should. Mm-hmm. I straight up think it's total BS.
But could it
on
also,
their part.
Could it also be like that Nintendo's like, okay, you're going to get that amount, and then like...
Which is, you know what, that's fine.
It's like, no,
Nintendo,
you're not getting that amount now, so...
I mean, if Nintendo said, what I personally think is that GameStop immediately opened pre-orders once the Switch, like during the Switch announcement, and had no idea what kind of stock they would be getting. And then afterwards were told the stock they would be getting and were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be totally wrong. Maybe Nintendo did crack down on their numbers, but I have a strong suspicion that it was done without any forethought in an attempt to get in as much pre-orders, the ads,
and
many
an attempt of people not remembering that they pre-ordered the Switch. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm trying to think back now to the announcement of, you know, they talked about on the 12th they were going to do the press conference, and then a news story came out that if you wanted to pre-order the next morning, the only place was going to be New York City store, you know, the Nintendo World there. But no one had said anything about pre-orders, you know, with normal retailers. And I think you might be pushing on something here, Allie, because maybe they just saw the chance and started taking pre-orders, said, we're guesstimating we're getting 100. Do that. And then, lo and behold, they were told they're not getting that many. Or maybe certain stores get more stock than other stores just based on their locale. And it happened to be like a smaller EB Games or GameStop.
It's really possible, but I think if it had been Nintendo saying, hey, we're cutting down on the amount of stock we send, GameStop not GameStop, I think that GameStop would have announced that. They would have said, hey, Nintendo is cutting back the numbers, we have to cancel pre-orders. But for them to not issue a statement and just do it makes me think that it was something on their end.
Like, they literally sent the message, like, it was revealed, like, on the January 12th.
Yeah.
And they sent the message January 13th at, like, 3 in the morning.
About no pre-order?
No, about pre-ordering, like, that day on the 13th, which is the day after it was I'm checking my email right now. I'm sub to it. So, they literally, like, they sent an email that says, watch the Switch presentation, and they're like, a couple hours later, pre-order to Switch. So it's like,
okay.
So who knows?
We probably will never know, but I guess we'll know more closer to the date whether or not people actually get their pre-orders.
Yeah.
But I think Nintendo's ready this time around. I got an inkling that Nintendo's ready this time around, just based on how they're planning on promoting stuff. I got this feeling. It's weird. It's different from other console launches by them. So,
do you not remember the classic Nintendo?
Yes, the classic Nintendo, but I think the reason they didn't produce enough of that is because they had their people making Switches.
I think it's because they wanted to create perceived demand.
Which is what they've been doing since the beginning.
They do it with Amiibos.
Every single one of their own consoles and Switch and stuff. That's always how they've been doing, which is dumb.
Well, it's just a thing. It's an exclusivity thing. They did it with the Wii as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Way back when.
We'll see. We don't got that long to wait.
That's true.
A month.
That is very true.
A month. It's coming. I've got a news story. So yesterday, aka Wednesday, for those listening, a little later than us recording, was an announcement made on Twitter by both Square Enix and Marvel. And they were stay tuned. There's an announcement tomorrow. So today, we got a little teaser trailer on Twitter, which is for an Avengers game combining the major power that is Square Enix and other awesome companies that are listed, including Crystal Dynamics, who we know have made the Tomb Raider games, the most recent ones, and Eidos Montreal, good old Montreal, working on an Avengers game. So
nice.
I think that's pretty cool to have two pretty big, you know, studios within the monster that is Square Enix, really good studios, working on this Marvel Avengers game. And what's kind of cool when you watch the trailer, which is very much a teaser, you see just like highlighted special elements from each of the Avengers, like Thor's hammer and Cap's shield and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with it. I mean, we don't know what kind of game it is. We don't know anything beyond that they're making something.
Can I just say that I'm a little bit disappointed because I thought it was going to be Marvel coming to Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, everyone thought that.
Really?
I really thought that's what it was going to be. And I'm not a big fan of superhero video games. I feel like every iteration has been really bad. for the most part.
It's rare. Good video games, good superhero video games is very rare right now.
Batman.
See, I don't like the Batman. I don't like the Batman games.
So good.
But yeah, so I was really looking.
You know what?
I really thought that it was going to be a Kingdom Hearts Marvel crossover.
Disney doesn't have Infinity anymore, and Kingdom Hearts has Disney characters in it, and I could see that happening. We don't know anything about the next Kingdom Hearts, really, so I could see that and Star Wars being thrown in there as worlds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we could see a lot more crossovers in Kingdom Hearts future, because I mean, like, every once in a while I get caught off guard thinking about Kingdom Hearts and how it's Final Fantasy mixed with Disney. And how weird that is. And then all of a sudden thinking of like Star Wars mixed with Final Fantasy could potentially be really awesome. And even Marvel. So like I could definitely see that being a possibility in the future. Now that Disney owns all these different
all
IPs.
The IPs. It's true. It's a one name now, one brand now. So it's interesting.
Oh, that gets me excited. That gets me really excited. But you know what makes me even more excited? Games that we know are coming this year. So hold up, on the other side of this break, we're going to be talking about what we're excited to play in 2017. And we're back! And guess what? We're talking about the games we are excited to play in 2017. Instead of just me like rolling through everybody's top three, I want us to go in rounds here.
Okay.
We're going to start with our third and then second and then most anticipated game of the year. So I'm going to throw to Simon first. What is your third most anticipated game of 2017?
This one could have made number three or could have made the next subject we're going to talk about, but it's a Death Stranding.
Interesting.
I'm very excited for I think more than just the game per se. I'm more excited to see what Kojima can do to push the limits of the PS4 kind of sorta.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at like what we've seen so far for Death Stranding, it's like it's very interesting, very different, and I'm really excited to see like how he's gonna do the face mapping of like the characters, and like because they look really flipping real, like that's pretty crazy, and like how that's really gonna integrate real life acting with video game acting, which I feel that we haven't seen that much of. Like there's always been this weird uncanny valley when doing motion capture and stuff. For movies not so much, because you know they can post and everything, but I feel that for video games there was always this weird kind of like, you know, it's fake but not really. But when looking at what they're doing so far with Death Stranding, it's pretty damn amazing. So like the graphically and story wise I'm really excited to see what this game's gonna bring. So,
and you think it's coming out this year?
I think so. I think he's far enough into it. He probably took a lot of what he was working on for PT and stuff and brought it over, but you know, who knows? Maybe it's gonna be 2018. But
now she's nodding.
Don't do that thing, Allie, where you don't speak and just
I think it's gonna be 2018.
Thank you.
For Death Stranding. I think it's gonna be 2018.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion.
He's got high hopes. He wants to play the game. But now Simon doesn't have a PS4. So that's gonna be a problem. Orders your PS4.
It works. No, it works, but it's making death sounds. So I'm gonna push it until it dies completely. But it's
that's
making
not the normal state of the PlayStation?
No, usually it's fine. Don't
what are
sass
you?
Me, woman.
You
don't
are
fucking
girl,
sass
you
me.
Are playing with fire. You are playing with fire.
I
don't make me come over there.
I don't normally do that, but I could not pass up that opportunity for that slight dig.
Hey, I'm a PC gamer at heart, so
oh,
actually,
we're all peasants.
You can shit. No, I don't. That's bullshit. You can shit on consoles all you want. I don't care.
She won't shit on console, especially if it's the green machine.
No, it's true. Well, mine's blue, so.
So much sass.
I know.
In this
okay,
tonight.
Me? Yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
Oh, mine's the funny. Sass is just far too much, Simon. Far too much.
I'm the sassy one right now.
Am I going to have to separate you two?
Of course. Well, I mean.
But it's funny when you think about the grouping we have here today with our cat. It's like Simon loves his PC, Allie's all about the Xbox, and I'm always will be a PlayStation gamer. So it's quite an interesting.
It's always Kat who's like, I play whatever's there.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Catherine's a secret Nintendo fangirl.
Yeah, no, is. I think she's pretty big Nintendo fangirl.
Not even
I think
secret.
She doesn't, yeah, I don't think yeah. it's a secret thing anymore.
Like, when we
yeah.
were talking shit on the Switch, it was like, no, it's going to be good. And I was like, Kat, really? Really?
I think so. I was actually defending the Switch more than her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. I got hopes for that. I try not to think pessimistically. I try to think the glass is half full. But when I get burned, I'm just like, serves me right. Yeah, well. All right, Allie, what's your third most anticipated game of 2017?
Vampire from Don't Nod. And it's actually funny how we, just at the beginning of the podcast, I said that I wasn't a huge fan of Life is Strange. Also from Don't Nod. But I am very much looking forward to their next game because I think the subject matter is a little bit more relevant to my interest.
I love vampires. I love monsters. I'm tired of zombies, and I think it's because they don't...
I am not.
You're not tired of zombies? I think it's mostly because they only have, like... In video games, they never really have much emotion or anything. At least vampires and werewolves and all those kinds
Someone
of things.
Someone has not played The Walking Dead from Telltale.
No, I've actually stayed away from The Walking Dead stuff. I don't know why. I watched the show... It was all right for me, and then I just kind of got bored with it, mostly because I got distracted by something else, like another TV show, but then never really gravitated to wanting to jump on any of the other properties, video games related to it. But yeah, I love monsters like that have show emotion, right?
I don't know, there's just something about Vampire. I feel like we haven't seen a lot of it yet. There's something like, it's there, and you know it's coming, and... I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do with it.
And vampires have been very top of mind in pop culture because of reasons that, you know, girly books and movies, which, you know, guilty pleasures and whatever else. But, you know, it's not something that we've dealt with very much in video games. And I'm pretty stoked. I also like the way they spell vampire. It has it's this nice cool. allure to it. I hope it really keeps up that, you know, olden times. It's what I wanted the order to be, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, the game takes place during the Spanish flu epidemic in London in like 1918, 1919. So it sets the tone for what we'll be experiencing and what we'll be exploring in the game. It's pretty, I'm very excited for it.
Looks very cool.
I just think it's also interesting too, like the character you play is a doctor who's afflicted and you have the choice to play the game without killing anyone.
Can you still drink the blood?
I don't know yet. I guess we'll have to wait and find out
maybe
more details.
You have to drink like chicken blood or something to keep going, even though you're
tastes like chicken.
I don't know, he's a vampire, he still needs to live. I'm just saying.
My number three is kind of obvious. I mean, it's a game that we've been waiting for. We're finally going to freaking get it. It's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And mostly because I've been waiting for a new Zelda game. It's time. I like Triforce Heroes or whatever that did not quench my Zelda thirst.
Oh, yeah,
and I need something. There's something about a Zelda game that makes me giddy. I don't know. So, yeah, I'm stoked. Like, I have purposely been avoiding watching things about that game. Because I don't want to get my hype too high, and also I don't want to be spoiled, and I kind of want to, you know, experience it all kind of blind. So yeah,
spoiler, there's gonna be a crossbow and a hook shot and the princess,
but
and
that's
the
what
bombs.
I like I know I like the idea
and
that they
the
bring
same
those into
thing
it
over and over. I'm sorry,
but that's what I like about it, because there's certain tropes that I enjoy from a Zelda. And I guess what was the last game? The one on the DS, the one where you had two worlds, Link Between Worlds.
That
yes,
was
exactly.
fantastic.
The thing about that game is, yes, you knew that you needed the hook shot and the bow and the sword and everything, right? But the mechanic, how they changed the mechanics of it, of how you had to go and buy the things and like you could go wherever you wanted and do it at your own fruition and your own time.
Yes.
That was more exciting to me about thinking about the tropes of Zelda in a different way than, you know, just a brand new game. Because I know I like Zelda. It's not like I have to go in there thinking like, oh, maybe I don't like this character or that character or a story spin or something like that. Like, there's certain things like I know are going to be there, and that makes me happy and keeps me grounded. And then when they throw me something new or throw me for a loop, I'm like, that's cool. So I'm kind of stoked about that. And I've always wanted that open world Zelda. I want to feel like I did when I started playing Ocarina of Time for the first time and went out into the Hyrulean field and was like, whoa. And I hope that happens. I hope that happens. All right.
Seems that that's what you're getting so far. So, and it's like a direct sequel to Ocarina, I think.
Yeah,
it's like 100 years in the future.
I don't know where it stands in the timeline. I don't want to know. We'll wait until March 3rd. It's all good. It's all good.
Shut up, Simon.
It's all good. It's all good.
I mean, there's like a million Zelda timelines, so it's not like I'm fucking spoiling anything. It could be any of the 7 different timelines that I'm doing, so.
There are 3.
Whatever. No, they're not. There's more than 3.
There's 3.
No.
Yeah. Future, present, past.
What? No, there's more than... Okay. Just wanted to look.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, no, there's 3. Okay, no, it's... No,
God damn it, Simon.
It's not past, but it's Link fails, Link wins and stays big, or Link wins and becomes small again. So those are the 3 different timelines.
I have never fucking understood Zelda. I don't understand the appeal of these games.
But that's okay. It's like...
It's kind of like
Final Fantasy in a sense. You know,
Ocarina of Time is the split. Ocarina is the split of the 3 timelines.
Yeah.
And if Link fails, then there's games there. And then if Link wins but remains a child, then you get Majora's Mask. You get those games. And then, but then if he wins and remains an adult, then there's more things happening on the other side.
That's why I kind of say it as past, present, future. It's like the 3 ghosts in... what was that?
Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I get
Christmas Story. Oh my Christmas God. Story.
Whatever. This is a video game podcast.
I was wrong. It's not what it is.
All right, let's move on to round 2. Allie. No, I started with Simon. Simon.
Hello.
What is your second most anticipated game of 2017?
Yooka-Laylee.
Ooh.
Super excited for Yooka-Laylee. The second, like, I don't like pre-ordering games. I don't like to back games on Kickstarters. But when I saw the team that was going to work on Yooka-Laylee, I was like, I have to freaking back this game. And finally, coming out in March or April of this year, I think it's March. And I'm super freaking... Everything we've seen so far is everything that we've always, you know, every Banjo-Kazooie fan has always wanted. Like a direct spiritual sequel with the same type of humor, the same type of gameplay. And of course, Grant Kirkhope is one of my favorite video game composers. So seeing him back in the team and doing the voices of the characters and all that kind of stuff, I'm super stoked for it. So, and it's going to look fantastic. And the multiplayer looks like freaking playing Mario Party. So that's going to be amazing.
I really hope they have, like, since they're being like so close to Banjo-Kazooie, that they have characters that are similar and like voices that are similar, because like every time like someone says the word Banjo-Kazooie in my head, I just go Inkabokum. And I want that to happen again.
He was on Game Grumps. He spent a good hour with them, and he was explaining like how he did the voices and all that kind of stuff, and it's pretty much like him saying random stuff and then speeding it up, lowering down, inversing it and everything, and it's fantastic. It's so cool.
Sweet.
And Allie is noticeably quiet because she never played this game.
You didn't play? Oh, dude. But are you a platforming kind of gal?
But wasn't Banjo-Kazooie more along the lines of like Spyro?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a gathering thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I was a Spyro kid, but that was like the extent of my interest in cartoony games at that time. So, yeah.
It's a shame because it's my favorite N64 game.
See, I didn't grow up with an N64.
I
skipped over a lot of things. I only really got into gaming on the PlayStation 1. Other than that, it was just handhelds. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was it was like a time waster.
The thing about Banjo-Kazooie, and I think what worked for it really well, is that by Nintendo putting out the 3D Mario on the N64 to start, and then everybody finished that and played the shit out of it and got 120 stars and everything, they were ready for something similar. And I think Banjo-Kazooie came at the right time for that.
And it was also a great fucking game. Like, it was just fun. The music was fantastic. The characters were endearing. It was just like, it was a fantastic game in general. So... yeah, the timing was good, but it's also a great fucking game.
Allie, number two.
So I said I wasn't over zombies, and
therefore
the next two games are zombie related. So God. The second game I'm looking forward to this year is The Walking Dead from Overkill. Overkill's the developer behind Payday 2. And now they've have the backing and the blessing of Robert Kirkman and Skybound. And they are going to be tackling the undead.
I mean, are they gonna... Because Payday 2 had kind of a little hiccup there at the end with the pay-to-win model. So I'm hoping it won't affect the development of that game, because that would suck, because that looks very fun, actually.
Yeah, it had a really cool teaser trailer, very simple, but they're going to take a much more, like, open approach. It's going to be co-op. I'm pretty sure they've confirmed that the game is co-op.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, yeah, I'm excited, because there's been many different renditions of The Walking Dead in video games over the past few years. And other than Telltale, none of them have really stuck with me. I'm excited for, like, a first-person shooter co-op Walking Dead game. I'm excited. I'm very excited. So, we have no other information other than, like, a couple walls of text.
Is there
so there's
a
lot of room for it to... No.
Oh, it just says 2017.
No, it just says released in 2017. So, I mean, there is the possibility that this will be pushed back, but... I have a funny feeling it won't be.
I like the idea, like the Fallout. We're going to call it the Fallout 4 way of doing things from now on, where people just announce it and say it's going to be out a few months later. I think a lot of game companies are taking that idea in stride.
Yes. And that's honestly my favorite way to be excited for games nowadays. Is like, announce it far enough in advance and then just go quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're close, start ramping it up. But I don't want to hear about a game for 3 years at a time without seeing any real progress.
Yeah. My number two is coming out real soon, the day after my birthday. It's Horizon Zero Dawn.
Can't believe that's coming out so soon.
I know. It's crazy. I'm so excited. So yeah, robots in a prehistoric kind of style era with a fiery redhead girl as a protagonist. Sign me up. Like, it has everything I could like about a video game. Everything I've seen, and it's another game that I'm trying to be very quiet when it comes to, you know, details and stuff. Like, everything I've seen so far to date, I'm stoked by. One of my favorite video game commentators, Colin Moriarty, has said that, you know, he's sold on it, and he's really excited and thinks it will do well, and I trust his judgment. So that makes me even more excited. But yeah, I just can't wait to go hands-on with this game.
I mean,
I'm ready.
They've been working on it for 6 years.
Which?
2000, Horizon.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Since 2011. Guerrilla began working on it as soon as Killzone 3 came out.
That makes sense.
6 years. I mean, that's, wow. They were not talking about it for like 5 years. That's pretty insane.
But think about it. That's what you need to do with a video game. They're such major endeavors. You need to sit down and do all that pre-planning and make sure it's good, and then figure out the branding and figuring out which engine and then coding it and testing it and all that stuff. Like, there's a lot of work. No wonder it takes 6 years to make a game. And that's why, you know, until it's sold, until they are like super like confident in this thing, don't tell me about it.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, you know. Don't, like, that's what Ali was saying earlier. Don't even think about talking about it until you're ready to release a full game, you know, with a lot of polish, because let's face it, that's what we want now. We want polish. So
We want polish. Speaking of polish, we're going to polish off this list. Simon, what's number one on your games you're most excited about for 2017?
All right, so I didn't want to put a DLC, but I had to put this one.
You're breaking the rules.
Yes, because it's very
special. You're breaking the rules.
I put The Last Dark Souls 3 DLC, Deranged City, for a couple of reasons. But the main one is because it will be the last piece of content from releases for the Dark Souls series. So that's kind of major in a sense, because, you know,
it's been a long series coming, and this will be the last thing that they will ever release when it comes to Dark Souls. So we're hoping for a lot of, you know, story wrap-ups, a lot of unanswered questions being answered, that kind of stuff. So I have a lot of faith in from delivering, but from what we've seen so far and to where it's going, like, everyone will, like, okay, this is the last DLC, we have to go to that place, and that's where we're going in the DLC. So pretty much everyone's confirmed that, okay, now we know what's going to happen, and it's going to be the end of the Dark Souls 3 cycle, and, well, Dark Souls cycle, and they can finally start working on a new game. Well, they're already working on a new game, but I'm hoping to get news soon about it.
I don't know much about Dark Souls. One day I'll jump in.
I know you need to get good.
Yes, very much so. But what's fun about the series, and, like, I love learning about the story in the games like that. What's fun about how From is delivering the story, they're not telling you the story, pretty much. It's by reading the item description, by listening to the boss, what they're saying, by looking at the weapons, by looking at the background, you know, you can gather a lot of what they're trying to tell you as a story, but it's not, like, explicit. So that's why I love just, like, going on YouTube and, like, spending hours and hours looking up at, like, lore ideas and speculation and hypothesis on what this guy is and what this does and what this is here. So that's, like, fantastic content, and I love listening to that kind of stuff. So it's I'm very hyped to see exactly what they're going to bring with it. And yes, of course, you have to get good, because they're pretty hard games, but I mean, they're not that hard. It's you know, you have to get used to the style of game, which is very different to what you're used to playing. But once you get used to the play style, it's not that hard. It's really fun and rewarding. So,
and when is that supposed to release?
March.
Soon.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Man, the beginning of 2017, it's packed. I mentioned it earlier. It is packed. More so than any other years.
Very bittersweet, but excited.
Allie, your number one most anticipated game of 2017 is
State of Decay 2.
More zombies!
More zombies! I am so excited, and I think it has to be for two reasons. Co-op campaign. There's going to be 4-player co-op in State of Decay 2, which I am so excited for. I thought that the first State of Decay was... It was like a swing and a miss, but only just. Like, I feel like it needed co-op to be, like, one of my favorite games, but it was lacking co-op, and that kind of, you know, it just didn't grab me as much as it could have. I think I would have preferred trying to survive the apocalypse with friends, especially given a lot of the gameplay mechanics just felt like they'd be better with friends. So I'm super excited to see that we're going to be able to do that in State of Decay 2. And the game just looks gorgeous too. And like, a few new screenshots were released earlier this week, and it looks like it's going to take full advantage of the Xbox's power. Which is cool.
When is that set to release?
I don't believe there is a release date yet.
Okay, so later half 2017?
Yeah.
They do have 2017 on it?
Yep.
Yeah, that seems to be a thing when I was looking through the list of what's coming out this year. Most things, if it has a date before E3, it has a set launch date. If it does not have a date before E3, it just says 2017. Or Q4 2017. So a lot of news is going to come out between now and E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we're going to be playing. We're waiting for a lot of news on a lot of things. But I was there at E3 last year for the announcement of State of Decay 2, and I was, like, bouncing out of my seat. I'm so excited. So I'm attentively listening for any trickle of information that they might leak out to us.
My most anticipated game for 2017 is Red Dead Redemption 2. Ooh. Because Red Dead Redemption. I loved the last game. Loved it. I love Red Dead Undead. Speaking of zombies.
Seriously.
I know. Zombies. They're everywhere. And Rockstar, like, just seeing what Rockstar was able to do with Grand Theft Auto 5 on the tail end of the last consoles, and knowing that they're, like, coming in mid-cycle with this version of the game, and how pretty that trailer looks. Damn. I'm excited. And I am a huge sucker for spaghetti westerns. Like, huge sucker. If you're going to do spaghetti westerns, if you're going to have that kind of reference, you need to own it. And I think Rockstar knows how to own it. They've proved it once before. They're going to prove it again. So I am stoked about that game. And multiplayer in Red Dead Redemption, the original, the last one, because I know there's different Red Deads. Multiplayer was really solid in that game too. So I'm stoked to see how that goes, especially since how many people are still playing Grand Theft Auto's online. It's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a fun year. But we have a lot of games that we're kind of iffy about, right? There are some games that are making us nervous. And I want to know from you folks, games that you think, or the one game that you think is doomed to fail, it's going to get pushed into 2018, or it just has way too much hype around it to be healthy. So I'm going to go back to Simon to start.
Yes. Okay, so I like Spider-Man. Okay, it's he's a cool superhero. I think he's fun. I think he's not really well represented in the movies right now, but I like the character. Problem is, there hasn't been a single fucking good Spider-Man game made ever. Like, I think there's like one obscure one on PS1 or something, but it's like, it's not happening, and it's just not working. And with the character that is so beloved, like fucking Spider-Man, that they're not able to do something that makes sense, then that's kind of annoying. So I'm kind of looking forward to Insomniac's the release of Spider-Man, but also I'm also very scared because it's insanely hard to do a good Spider-Man game simply because you have to nail the like free-flowing through the city and like just going from places to places and stuff, and just nailing his personality, that I feel that there's no way that this game can live up to the hype that everyone has of having Insomniac do a Spider-Man game. So I'm hopeful, but I'm also very nervous because I really want a good Spider-Man game, and I feel like it's not gonna happen. So
did Insomniac do Sunset Overdrive?
They did, yes.
Now,
Ratchet and Clank.
Now, see, Sunset Overdrive has mechanics in it that, and the speed that makes me feel like they can handle Spider-Man. Yeah. Where I think they've got to be careful is the humor, because Spider-Man has some poignant humor in it, but it's not like Deadpool humor, where it can be dirty and raunchy, but it's still funny. Right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I just recently watched the Captain America Civil War movie, and the way that they did Spider-Man. I know. Look, I play video games. I don't have time for movies. Bear with me. But the way that they characterized Spider-Man in that, if that's the kind of spin they'll take on it, I think it'll work well. But I think also the reason why Spider-Man was good is because he played well off Iron Man.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah. He's a kid. He's a smart ass. And like, he's very sassy. So we'll see.
He's too smart for his own good.
Pretty much. So, you know, that's also the other thing. You know, how do you nail Spider-Man in a video game like that with a personality? So it's.
Well, I mean, it's taken them how many movies to get it right?
Right.
Yeah. 2002. So, I mean, you know, the first one with Tobey Maguire wasn't horrible. But it wasn't like good, but it just like wasn't.
If y'all could see Ali's face right now.
I just screenshot it.
Except for the fact that he was, you know, a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I don't know. It was. I felt that they did a decent job, but whatever.
So that.
And Kirsten Dunst.
Oh my goodness. That's true. But of all the games, that's the one that you're nervous for. But you're nervous. Yeah. It seems like you're nervous because you want it to work.
Yeah, I want it to be good. I really want it to be good. And I feel that it's not going to be. So that's why I'm scared.
I feel like I misunderstood this question.
Why?
Why?
Because I wrote down a game that I'm really excited for, but I have concerns over.
That's
but
fine. I don't think that's fine. Exactly it. Okay. That's what. Okay. That's how I spun it. I said a game that could be doomed to fail, that you think is like just going to fail, will get pushed into 2018, mean it's supposed to come out this year, but not, or won't. You think it's there's no way it's going to happen, or there's just too much hype around it for it to be healthy. So, Allie, with me rephrasing again, what is your game that you are nervous about for 2017?
I am nervous about Sea of Thieves.
And why?
Only because I want to really love this game. Like, I want this game to be amazing.
I don't even know what that is. What is it? What is it about?
Oh, my God.
You get to be a pirate.
You need to Google that right now.
I'm Googling it, but what is it about?
We're just going to give Simon... We're going to take a mini break while Simon Googles
this. It's okay. I'm looking at it. You can keep talking while I'm looking at it. You can keep going while I'm looking at it. It's fine.
No, I am... I had the chance to try out Sea of Thieves at E3 last year.
Okay.
Conveniently enough, I was pretty much working next to them the entire weekend or the entire event. So I got to sneak off and play a few times. And... I love the concept of the game. I love the art direction. The gameplay was super fun. I mean, the only gameplay I've experienced is being on your ship in the ocean battling another ship.
Okay.
And that alone was great. But I'm a little bit worried that the game won't have enough of like the replayability factor or something that's going to keep me and my clan playing. Because we know that there's going to be moments where you have to exit your ship and you know, go search for booty and everything like that. But I'm just wondering how much of the game
search
is going to be
based.
Search for booty. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I'm just worried about, like, how much... I'm worried about, like, the... Like, the division of labor in the game. Like, how much time I'm going to spend on my ship PvP battles with other clans and like how much time I'm going to be spending on shore searching through deserted temples to try and find, you know, treasures of old. I want to know more about that because I feel like if the majority of the time is going to be spent in PvP ship battles, I don't think it's going to keep my attention as much as I want it to. I really want there to be an RPG aspect to it. And I'm not sure if it's going to have that.
Are you concerned that you're going to have a power struggle within your clan?
No. I will be the captain.
Wow.
There you go.
Holy
There's
shit.
No, okay, this is like a... What's that movie where the guy's ship gets taken over and the pirate comes on and he's like, I am the captain now. That's me. I am the captain now.
Isn't it Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, it's Captain Morris or something
oh,
like that.
Maybe.
Captain Phillips. Is that what
oh,
that
yeah,
movie
yeah,
is
yeah,
called?
Oh, right. But that's based on a real life pirate.
Yeah, well, I am a real life dictator and I am the captain now.
I feel for the folks in your clan.
Seriously. Well, they're
sorry,
just going to
have
to deal with it or else they're going to walk the plank. And I'm very excited for all the pirate puns I'm going to be able to use in party chat.
Dress it's like a pirate a day will be every day for Allie.
Yeah, like I mean, if you guys think about it, like we don't have very many RPGs where you get to play a pirate, and like the idea of like me being able to dress up my character and like
give him a peg leg.
Yeah, like just have like the experience of being a pilot. Because I mean, we're used to playing super soldiers and knights and assassins, but like we never get to be a swashbuckler.
Just an Assassin's
At least
Creed
not in
Black
the purest
Flag
form,
but
okay,
I mean,
well, we don't
was...
talk about Assassin's Creed.
Black I liked Flag. Black Flag. The shanties, man, they made me feel like I was home. I did. I was listening
anyway.
To them, and I was like, "This is awesome." Oh my!
But yeah, like I really want it to be like a full. I want it to be a well-rounded pirate experience, and I'm worried that it's not going to be, the whole experience.
I'm nervous about a game that's coming out pretty soon. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. I remember seeing the... And Simon is laughing. I remember seeing the trailer or the announcement for this back E3, not last year, year before, I want to say. And I was, like, super hyped because it had that, like, awesome... Oh, what was the face? Allie?
No,
okay?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Okay.
Sorry.
I remember seeing the trailer when it, the announcement trailer during E3, what was it, like 2 years ago? And it had that sick Imagine Dragons song in it. Kudos to the folks at Ubisoft. They know how to pick music, I gotta say. And it had that, like, you know, you see like the cocaine and the money on the table and the skulls, and it looked like he was gonna be dealing with like drug lords and, you know, like shootouts and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my god, it's co-op, this looks sick, I'm so excited. And then I didn't hear anything for a really, really long time, and I feel like I haven't heard a lot still. Like, it's been super quiet, and it comes out on March 7th. That's surrounded by a console launch, Zelda, Horizon Zero Dawn, and I was recently burned by The Division. So I feel concerned. Like,
that's my question. Is basically The Division, but in Far Cry's universe?
No.
No, but I can see the Far Cry elements in all of this.
And but it's like the gameplay is like The Division, right? It's the same thing.
It's more along the lines of, because, yeah, Division mixed with maybe a little bit of Siege.
Okay.
Yeah, Ali's shaking her head, but it's just weird. It could be a sleeper hit. It could be, but I'm nervous. But I did have fun in The Division, where I was playing with my husband and with Craig, and like just going out and, you know, like trying to get through story mode. But I just felt like it was missing something, and it had all this hype and then it died real quick. While this one has, I feel like, no hype, but I feel like it might, you know, not make it.
So I'll be straight up honest with you. This was going to be, when I first saw that question in our document, this was going to be my answer, was going to be Wildlands, because we all know I'm a big Clancy fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super stoked about Siege, super stoked about The Division, and I felt, as I've already discussed my feelings and emotions about The Division, I felt very burned by that, and it just felt like Ghost Recon was very similar to that, with kind of like a Battlefield spin a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I there's just not a lot happening with Ghost Recon Wildlands right now.
There's no hype. It's like it's like a little over a month.
Is it because people have been burned so much by Ubisoft that just don't care anymore?
Is there too many other things coming out around that time?
I think it's just an oversaturation of games of this type.
That too.
Right now, like, and there are so many other games that people are already like indentured in, like that are already a part of and that are actively, you know, working to better themselves in, that like this coming out where it doesn't seem like there's any new gameplay mechanics, doesn't seem like there's anything new that's bringing to the table that makes it stand out from other games. I feel like it's just kind of coasting along, and it's gonna release and it's just gonna disappear.
Okay.
I have the same feeling. I have also the feeling that maybe they might have taken everything that they from The Division and Siege and their learnings, and then they might put out something that's dope. But then that's so like pipe dream, like so much of a pipe dream, that I would not go and bet on that. I would not go to the casino and put my money on that. I'd go to the casino and put my money on the fact that I think it's not going to do well, and which is kind of sad. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. It's just there's so much competition around that time. I won't be playing it for a very long time, and I'm afraid by the time I have a chance to jump into it, no one's going to be talking about it.
We'll see. Maybe that's what it needs. Maybe it just needs to be good and quiet. So people are like, oh, okay, that's interesting, let's go check it out. Because if the game is good, then people are going
to
play.
$80 is a lot of money to just check something out, though.
Clancy title, it's not like it's not like it's a Stardew Valley where you can drop $16. It's quiet. You know, it kind of comes out of nowhere, and this fury builds around it. Do you know what I mean? So, a brand new IP.
We'll see.
So the biggest thing that, like, when you browse the Ghost Recon Wildlands website, it seems like the biggest thing that they're pushing is the fact that you can customize your ghost and you can customize your gear, and it's like, that's fantastic, but
should be the base of the game.
Looking at this gameplay, it is exactly what we've seen in so many other titles, including The Division. Like, it literally just looks like...
Well, in researching, like, news stories about Ghost Recon, like, I was trying to find some stuff for Ghost Recon Wildlands, like, who was talking about it, who's played it, because we haven't even been offered the chance to play it. We have not, and Ubisoft has been so good about stuff.
Well, there's going to be a beta.
Oh, okay.
Soon.
Still.
They announced that this week that I got an email in my inbox about a beta.
Well, that's good. I'll be trying that out.
Pre-order now and get guaranteed access to the beta.
Ghost Recon. Okay, hold on. This is an article from Wired that I pulled up. It was written Thursday, the 26th of January. That is today. Today? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ghost Recon Wildlands can't shake its Far Cry fixation. In this trade-off between open world and tactics, distraction wins in Ubisoft shooter. That could be... I think they might have hammered the nail on the head there. So, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to try. I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, see, this is a really big... When you go to the website, I'm on the website right now, and you click the game, Become a Ghost. Everything that is on this page is customize your ghosting gear. Choose your loadout. Customize the appearance of your weapons with skins, which we all know how much those cost in Rainbow Six Siege.
So basically what you're saying is that Wildlands is going to be a mini transaction simulator.
Yeah, this does not look promising to me. If I go to the website for your game, I want to know about the gameplay, not just the fact that I can make my character a guy or a girl.
Wow. 2017.
This article on Wired is pretty in depth and breaks it down, but you know, I'm still not sold. I'm sad.
I just feel like we're saturated at this point with the same thing from the same company, and I think it something needs to change.
Is that three Tom Clancy games in 3 years? Pretty close together because it was December. Yeah, December 2015 was Siege. April 2016 was Division. April May, something like that. And now March 2017 is going to be Wildlands.
Yeah, and Wildlands was announced at the same time as Siege.
So that's like, well, Siege was another game. Was it Patriots? Or they didn't do that?
They didn't do Patriots, and instead they did Siege.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ghost Recon Wildlands was announced at pretty much the same time. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I would like to be proven wrong.
Yes,
I would like to be proven wrong because I really do like the Tom Clancy series, and I would like to get a Tom Clancy game that hooks me from the beginning, and doesn't rely on DLC coming out 6 months later to get me back into the game.
Right.
So I feel like this is their chance, and I'd be more than willing to give it a shot.
It's your chance.
Who knows?
It's your card to play, Ubisoft. All right, guys, I think that rounds up the show here today. Thanks so much for giving your 2 cents on what you're excited to play and what you're nervous for 2017. There's so many games, and there's so much we don't know about. After E3, I think we can do this again. And we'll just talk about the second half of the year. Like, honestly. Because we don't know. Round two, indeed. Before I let you go, I want to thank, of course, Fun.io for their wonderful web hosting. If you're looking for a VPS server to host your website or any other type of hosting, you should go check them out. Stream schedule. Simon, what's going on with the ladies of Twitch?
Yes, so tomorrow on Tuesday, we have Catalyst is going to be playing some Assassin's Creed, actually. She's going to be doing some Assassin's Creed, so that should be interesting. That is at 7, of course. And then we have Scarlett on Wednesday. It's going to be doing some more creative stream. I think she's working on her Pokemon costume at this point. So
everybody's got to try and guess what it is. I figured it out.
Yes, I think. Oh, yeah, you did. I didn't check it out last Thursday, so I'm not sure. And then we have Bianca on Friday with Final Fantasy. I'm not sure which. It says 9, but sometimes she switches it up, so we'll see if it's still 9. Then we have Sarah with Diablo 3 on Saturday. And on Sunday, we have City at 9 with Stardew Valley. But we also have Alice, who should be there at around noon and doing a special creative stream. So you guys should definitely be there on Sunday to come watch her do it.
Yeah, if you ever want to know more about Twitch and if things are changing with the stream schedule and to keep up to date, of course, check our Twitter at The Girls on Games for that. Yes. Kat usually does website highlights, but she's not here. So I'm going to pimp some of her content because Catherine wrote this amazing editorial piece called Grief and Gardening, How Stardew Valley Helped Me. Now, for those of you who don't know, Catherine lost her dad in late 2015. And in this piece, she talks about the struggle she endured and how Stardew Valley aided her in healing. It is by far one of the best pieces of work we have on the site. And it made me cry and smile at the same time. It's a must read. You got to go check it out. Seriously. On a different note, stay tuned for all the Nintendo Switch coverage we're going to have on the site. I can't tell you what that's going to be right now because it hasn't happened yet based on this recording time. But by the time you're listening to this, it's going to be the future because you're in the future and now we're both in the future. So go check it out on the site. The future is now. Thank you, Simon and Allie, for joining me this evening. It's been awesome. I want everybody to be able to check you out on the social media and your game spaces and stuff. Allie, how can people find you?
You can find me pretty much everywhere as 8BitBlonde, spelt out. So Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, all that good stuff.
And Simon, where can people find you on Xbox Live now?
Well, on Twitter, I'm GOGSimonM. Although, don't follow me on Twitter because I'm never there. But I am on Xbox now, and it's 42 spelled out with an X at the end because 42 was already taken. Ah. So 42 spelled out X.
Going to friend you now in a moment.
That's fine.
I'm Leah Jewer on social media. And then when it comes to the Xbox, I'm GOG Leah. And unfortunately, I can't change my name on PlayStation. One day, PlayStation. But now I'm still living with my anime, J-pop singer name from back in, God, when did I join that? Anyways.
A while.
IU5656 if you want to go find me there. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We're on Instagram and Snapchat as Girls on Games. Discord.me/Girls on Games if you want to come chat with us. It's lots of fun. We talk about
our
games.
Discord is awesome.
Yeah, we talk about lots of fun stuff. You should come hang. But of course, everything you ever need to know is on the website. That's girlsongames.ca, so you can find everything right there. Once again, thank you very much, Simon and Allie. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next week. Happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.